And Fundi, is there a specific passage of scripture or a true story from the Bible that you can relate resilience to in a very strong way?
Yes. So my favorite passage is Luke 7, from verse 36. And what we have in this passage is a sinful woman who is forgiven by Jesus. And I'll just be very brief, but one of the reasons this passage so speaks to me is there's a few characters at play here. What we have in the beginning stages is this woman, and no one really explains what she's done, but whatever it is, it has caused huge scandal because just by showing up, everyone knows that, not this one. Like, no one explains that, oh, she did this or she did that, but just by showing up, she is so notorious that everyone immediately knows who she is. So when she shows up at this door, which is the door of a religious leader, I can just imagine someone in a community, maybe who is the known criminal, who might be the known prostitute, who might be the known thief, whatever it is. So you're not expecting that person to darken the door of the person of faith in that community. So this woman musters up, I don't know what courage, but she musters it up to stand at the store, to dare come to the store. And what draws me to that is, how big was the call of Christ in her life that she would be willing to withstand public ridicule to just find Jesus? She comes in, she doesn't say anything, she goes low, she goes to the Lord's feet, and she just cries and cries and cries. Her tears are so many that they've been able to wash Jesus's feet. And I think for some of us, when we read stories in the Bible, we don't grasp it. There are almost 100,000 tears in a teaspoon. That's not enough to drench someone's feet, let alone wash them. So this woman is weeping, and she lowers her hair, which in those days would have been a sign of her glory, a sign of her honor. In full humility, she wipes the Lord's feet. And in just those that brief exchange, I am like, what has Jesus done to this woman that she would be willing to do this? She pours perfume over his feet. And in that instant, the religious leader, his name is Simon. Simon looks at this and he's appalled. And I think sometimes when we read the Bible and we look at the Pharisees, I know for me, I'm always like, who are these people who crucified the Lord? What is wrong with these people? But if I allow the Lord to work in my heart a bit better, I can see myself in Simon the Pharisee. I've been in the church now for a couple of years. I would be what one would call a religious person. And so it is all with humility that I look at Simon's behavior, and I'm immediately aware that it was people in the church who killed the Lord. It wasn't the people sitting in the shebeen.
Goodness.
So you've got these two characters, this woman who is a hot mess and comes to Jesus and says, I just need you. And you've got this religious leader who has all these rules and all these processes that he must follow, and he's standing at looking at Christ in pride. There's no, he doesn't need Jesus. Jesus can't do anything for him. He's done it all. He is so perfect that he doesn't need a savior. He doesn't need a savior. And so for me, when I look at that story, it always brings me back to look at my heart. Fundiswa, what is the posture of your heart towards Jesus? Are you filled with pride because you go to church, you're serving, you're trying to live a good life? Do you remember that that when we come to Jesus, we are all that sinful woman because we fall short of his glory. What is the posture of your heart? Because it is a heart filled with humility that can receive the forgiveness of the Lord and be filled with love.
Fundiswa.
Brendan.
That is powerful. And it is God's word that is powerful. And it is God who has given you that ability to bring out, to reveal God's nature and our nature in that passage. So my heart is full of gratitude that he has chosen to do that this morning. Not because we deserve it, but because he loves to, it delights him. Thank you. And so, Fundiswa, there's going to be quite a few people who are listening out to our conversation this morning, and that's what it is. It is a conversation between sisters who've not even met. It is a conversation between sisters who will spend eternity together, and eternity has already started. We always need to remind ourselves of that. And Fundiswa, since there's quite a few people who are listening in, how do they maybe connect with you? And where can they find resources to continue the conversation with you now?
Okay.
And I'm going to ask that you spell your name, not for any other reason other than I know there's people listening to us from Europe and the US. So they will just need just the spelling of your name, if that's fine with you.
That's perfect. So my name is Fundiswa, which is Fundiswa. And my surname is Yuba, which is Yuba. And then Rendani, I run a ministry mainly just reflecting on life. I am working currently on Facebook and Instagram, and the page is Messy, and that just speaks to the messiness of humanity. So it's M-E-S-S-Y. And then Mercy, which is God's mercy for us. So the ministry is literally where our messiness collides with God's mercy and grace. And that, if you just search for that, you should be able to see Mercy Mercy on either Instagram or on Facebook. I haven't posted this week just specifically to honor my father-in-law, and I will be posting again from next week. And if people are looking to also get a hold of me, the email address is mercymercyfyi@gmail.com, and they can just drop me an email. I'm quite interactive because I think for me, I just want people to walk in the fullness of their relationship with the Lord, because in that there's such freedom, there's such joy.